This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
That's One Mick Harley, also known as One Blood by Electric Fields, our entry for Eurovision this year. And it's 21 minutes past eight and you're on Joy Breakfast. And I'm joined in the studio by my favourite polyamorous, autistic, ADHD, trans lesbian comedian, the one and only Anna Piper Scott.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the show. Now, you were running a little bit late this morning because you decided to have an interesting ride on a rideshare, didn't you?
Yeah, I got one of those Uber pools where you get like a cheaper ride and they have other people come in and join the ride and you like share part of the trip and whatever. And it told me that was going, because it was meant to be here at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And it said on the thing, latest arrival time, 7:50.
Haven't you learnt that that's never correct just based on food orders when they come to your house though? Just,
I left the house 7 a.m.
No, hang on a minute. Have you spent over an hour in a, no.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I think maybe it arrived at like 10 past.
No, but that's
waiting
still
for the Uber. But I left my front door.
Oh my God.
To come here at 7 a.m. and it's taken this long to get here.
I've had one experience with a pool rideshare, and that was when I was in San Francisco. And that was, you know, I was thinking, oh, if I want to save some money and spend it on alcohol later, if I want to save some money, I was tapping everything every time. I didn't know how much Uber was going to cost. American dollar, da-da-da. I'll do Uber pool. It took me 2 hours to get from one place to another because I didn't understand what was going on and why they'd always go in the opposite direction to where I was going. But I got to meet a lot of people. Did you at least get fun meetings with people?
I don't think anyone wants to make new friends in an Uber at 7:30 in the morning.
I think if you're taking an Uber pool, you've got no choice. All right, you raise a very valid point.
I was next to this one woman in a suit who clearly had not planned her day properly either, and she was like literally had her makeup palette and her foundation was like doing a rush face before getting into work whilst in the Uber, and I'm just like, this woman doesn't want to make friends. This woman needs some alone time.
That's a skill though. I'm not one of those people. I mean, I'm bad enough at applying makeup when I'm sitting at home trying to put it on my face for drag, but I always think it's this amazing skill that people do when they're kind of doing it in cars or on social media. Oh, not social media. That was a talk with Trenna on public transport. Because you can never know when it's all going to stop.
Yeah, I've tried to do it before and just, you know, you get like a sense for it. I feel like you become one with the bus, one with the tram. You're like, this is when it's going to stop. I feel like I leveled up in my transition when I did lipstick on the tram and pulled it off. I'm like, I have ascended. I am a greater woman than I was before.
Well, it just, I mean, a tram, you can at least have a sense as a bit of a bigger thing, but an Uber, that's dangerous.
Oh, that's, yeah. You know, never know when someone's going to suddenly like turn the corner and just stop suddenly and crash into
or
them
just,
or whatever.
They might almost swerve with a bike, but did you feel like going, should you feel like this is an opportunity for me to give you some tips? Like maybe add that color in or maybe, oh, you're using the wrong blush. Was it a potential opportunity to give some makeup advice?
Well, I mean, I haven't done a face either, so I feel like she wouldn't trust me.
Oh, fair point.
I feel like if she'd met me like, you know, 7 p.m. my usual hours and seen me, you know, my stage makeup and whatever, would have taken every single tip I could possibly give her, but just be like, oh, do this, do that.
Yeah. I mean, you are doing the Melbourne International Comedy Festival at the moment with your show, none of that queer stuff, which I'm just like, yeah, since you're known for all of that queer stuff, that's a whole heap of fun. How are you going with the Comedy Festival? Is it a whole heap of fun at the moment?
I'm doing great. I just announced on social media a couple of days ago that I'm quitting comedy, and it's amazing.
Oh, was it quitting comedy or taking
that takes off?
Was it quitting comedy or taking a break from stand up?
I mean, I don't know what the difference would be. I might quit and come back, you know, if I miss it enough. But you know,
all right. Well,
it's like having a breakup with a lover where you just don't feel healthy for each other, even though you still love each other.
Oh, we've all been there, haven't we? Yeah. All right, well, we're going to dive into that a little bit more. It's 25 minutes past eight, and you're on Joy Breakfast, and this is Hold On Me.
The
perfect mix of music, news, and interviews. Joy 94.9.
It's 28 minutes to 9. You're on Joy Breakfast, and that was Everywhere, a BBC Children's in Need cover. I'm on the show today with Anna Piper Scott. We didn't know what that song was going to be, did we?
No, I didn't know it was going to be a Fleetwood Mac cover.
Yeah.
I feel like they didn't know it was going to be a Fleetwood Mac cover.
No.
Because they gave it nothing.
That was by Niall from former is One Direction done?
Yeah.
They're over? Yeah, there you go. I'm really down with the music of the youth. And Anna Marie.
You wouldn't guess that you worked at a queer radio station, would you?
Right? Well, you know, I do the talking, less of the music. I let the experts deal with that. But we were talking just before those songs about you're doing your Melbourne International Comedy Festival show at the moment, and you've just announced this week you're shifting gears.
Yes, I'm stepping away from stand-up comedy for at least a year. And I'm seeing what else I can find to kind of scratch that creative itch instead.
Okay, so what's brought that on? Because you've just recently, well, not just recently, you've been touring the past year, you know, touring like crazy, fantastic shows, very different, some stand-up, really, really, really fantastic show, taking the language of They Who Shall Not Be Named and things that they've put online and reworking it into a production, which was amazing. But you've been to Edinburgh and everywhere, yeah.
Yeah. It's all been off like my own back,
yeah.
And I've gotten some like grants and stuff like that. But the people who are like the gatekeepers in the industry who can kind of like be your management or put you on TV or anything like that, they just don't seem interested in me. I mean, like, I don't want to like burn too many bridges, but I wasn't able to get on at the Festival Club this year.
Okay. Oh.
You know, I kind of like emailed in January trying to get on, and they're just like, oh, we just don't have room for you.
Oh, in January?
Yeah.
There was already no room.
Yeah. And I'm like, do you
That's funny
do you
considering
not have
I know
any...
people that got a call like a month ago.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
And you just kind of at a certain point go like, okay, just like the people who run this industry clearly don't want me around, aren't interested in having me around. You know, other stand-up comedians don't come and watch my shows,
yeah,
despite me getting like reviews and awards. They're not interested in finding out what I do.
It's so interesting.
I just
want
to be
so you're trying something new.
Yeah, especially because whenever I'm around actors or drag queens or burlesque performers or whatever, they always want more of me. They're always so friendly and welcoming and inclusive. So I'm like, why am I trying so hard to make it in an industry that's toxic when there's all these other communities that are so much nicer to be around?
Well, you know, I mean, I know as an independent artist, there's only so much knocking at a door you can do before you just go, okay, it's time to do something differently. And I've had this through many different aspects of my life. I've talked about this on the show before, especially in my midsummer show earlier this year. Like, I spent a huge portion of my childhood going to agents and going to things and just being told, oh, you sound really good, your acting's really good, but you don't look Australian. So then I went to Europe where they said, oh, look, you look too European. And I'm like, okay, I can't seem to win. I got told multiple times to get a nose job. And if I don't know, I just want to stress this, like, ethnic people, your nose is your feature. What was that actress's name from Dirty Dancing? And then she got
Jennifer Beals.
And then she got a nose job. And
she
then
looks anonymous now.
Now it just looks like everyone else. I have other friends I know who listened to those agents, got themselves a nose job, and then all gone away. So at a certain point, you go, all right, I've got to change different gear and figure out what works for me, which has created this busy homosexual lifestyle that I lead.
Well, I mean, the thing is, they haven't told me anything.
No, you just don't hear anything.
They don't put me in the room and tell me that I need to do this or I need to do that, you know, because I think we both know, them and me, that the answer is don't be trans.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's what we're assuming the thing. This is one, I mean, you can't avoid it, I guess, but you celebrate and elevate yourself in your comedy and the space and how you do it in a really good way. Audiences respond to it in such a massive way, and so do reviewers.
Yeah, I think people in the... When I talk to other performers, they go like, oh, the Australian public isn't ready for trans stuff. I'm like, no, the Australian public is hungry for it.
Fine.
The gatekeepers assume that the public isn't ready for it. Like, people assume that all my shows are just like an audience of like mostly trans people, but honestly,
which I'd love, don't get me wrong.
No, it's great when it happens, but it's taken me the entire time I've been here in Melbourne, 5 years, to like get to the point where I'm having some shows now in this season that have more trans people than not. But the entire time up until then, it's been more cis people. And in Adelaide, it was more cis people than trans people. Every show.
Yeah.
In Perth, it was more cis people. Like, cis people really want to see and hear from trans people.
100%.
All around Australia.
Yeah.
You know, not just here in Melbourne, in Perth and Adelaide as well. But the people running the industry think that there's no appetite for this.
Oh, is that, how can we change that, though? It's not through ticket sales, because your ticket sales are going great.
Yeah.
Like, how do we change that appetite unless we scream for you more and say, why aren't we seeing this? So maybe that's the thing that needs to flip the switch. Or is it that the gatekeepers, like, I always laugh because we know that these gatekeepers exist, right?
Yeah.
In every industry, in every space, in every place. And they just think what's in their head is the way that things are going to roll or work. How do we change that dial? Do we have to push them off their pedestal, or what do you reckon?
I don't know. I wish I had the answers for you.
But then we do it.
I think it's up to queer people to do what we've always done, which is make our own spaces and make our own work and find ways to kind of exist outside the mainstream, and then the mainstream sees how bright and happy and noisy we are, and they come find us and pretend that we were part of the mainstream all along. so and I think accurate. That's what's going to happen with these gatekeepers. I mean, that's what they did with Reuben K. Reuben K was struggling here for years.
Not years!
Went away to the UK, became huge over there, and it's come back, and then everyone here has pretended that they were the biggest Reuben K fans and the biggest Reuben K supporters the entire time.
I remember talking with Reuben because Reuben could not, for love nor money, get any decent kind of traction in any space or place. We were having a huge chat about it at Chapel Off Chapel during one of the festivals. I don't want to name because I don't want to shame. But huge conversations about it where they were just like, no one wants to see what you do except your soul showed out. Sold out every time. And it was just like not working. Suddenly go overseas and now Reuben is the top of the town in every way, shape and form, as they should be.
Yeah. But then people tell me to do the same thing. They're like, oh, just go to the UK and make a career over there. I'm like, have you Googled the words UK and trans any time in the past 5 years?
Yeah, it's not ideal. We just got a message in correcting us. It was Jennifer Grey. Jennifer Grey the actress from Dirty Dancing.
I think I was thinking of the one from Flashdance.
Oh, is Jennifer Beale the one from Seventh Heaven?
No, that's Jennifer Beale. Jennifer Beals.
Oh, okay. From Flashdance. Look, we're very knowledgeable and very skilled. We're going to dive into more of this. You're on Joy Brekkie with Dean and Anna Piper Scott, and this is It's All Right.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy Breakfast. We've just gotten a message in from Gina in Brunswick saying you need to add Electric Fields' Juan Makale on to the Joy Breakfast Gay Pop playlist. That's right, we're adding more songs to it today. Anna, just to give you, I've got comedian Anna Piper Scott with me in the studio, just to give you a heads up, in combat of JoJo Siwa's creation of Gay Pop with one song that was someone else's already, we have made our own playlist that has a mixture of songs like Poison Poison by Renee Rapp, San Francisco by The Village People, Better Days by Benjamin Ingrosso, and also Small Town Boy by Bronski Beat. So it's very eclectic. And on Monday, Rach is driving back from Adelaide, which is an 8-hour drive. So I want to have 8 hours worth of gay pop tunes for Rach to listen to on the way back. When you think gay pop, what songs come to mind?
Well, I think out of respect to my own community, I should put in Unholy by Sam Smith and Kim Petras.
Love. I mean,
bit of trans rap on there.
Well, I was about to say, I feel like we need more than one, so I'm going to need to add in Throat Goat and also Coconuts.
Yeah.
I can't just do one song there. And even with Sam Smith. Okay. All right. These are good suggestions.
But that one's got a special place in my heart.
Oh, really? Why?
The first trans single to reach number one.
Oh, true, actually. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah,
it's
a real milestone.
Oh, love it. All right, well, we're adding that to the list right now. If you have songs that you want to add to our Joy Breakfast gay pop playlist, message them in to 0427-569-949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Coming up, more of Anna Piper Scott. This is Wildfire.
Joy.
Sorry, 12 minutes to 9. That's my brain just doing a bit of this morning. On Joy Brekkie, I've got Anna Piper Scott with me in the studio. Since that call out, we've had you put put Unholy as definitely for our Joy Breakfast Go Pop playlist. We've got
Gay Pop, not Go Pop.
We've gotten some more suggestions, which is anything by Sylvester would be good, and also Perfect Beat by Bronski Beat. And so it's going well. Message in your songs. We're currently at nearly 3 hours, and we need to get to 8 for Rach to only listen to this playlist all the way back.
And we want pop by queer people.
Well, it doesn't need to just be by queer people, so it can speak to queer people in different ways, but if the predominant of it is queer, that would make me happy.
Right. I didn't know if we're doing like Believe by Cher.
Look, I mean, I think by Britney. Certain people would consider that gay pop. I feel it is, but I'm like, if I was to pick a Britney or Cher song, I would go more Lucky.
Right.
Or that's just me. Or I would go, Jesse James in my show. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want to grab
Right. So the ones that only the queers know.
Yeah, because we're all that matters. All right, so we have been having some great chats this morning on the show, and interesting chats because you're taking a new direction in your career. You're doing a comedy festival show at the moment, none of that queer stuff that's going great guns, and you've just announced this week you're taking a little bit of a breather from it all because at the end of the day, people in the upper echelons of the space and place seem to not think that we want to hear about trans stuff.
I mean, that's my theory.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you were saying that you agents would tell you that you need to get a nose job. Agents don't tell me anything. Maybe they've got some other problem with me. Maybe I've got bad body odor. I have no idea what's going on. I just know that I've hit a wall and I don't know what the wall is.
Isn't it funny, though, when we look at what we're seeing around us and how we're seeing it, we're seeing so much trans representation and gender diverse representation in our social media, not our social media, in our, I'm still stuck on social media because of Triana in my brain, but in our television and movies. Like, I love the
Not here.
But not in Australia. Well, no. Okay, that's a really good point. You mean not in Australia?
Not in Australia.
Oh.
I mean, we've got Georgie Stone on Neighbours,
yes,
who is
great,
an icon,
yeah,
and is the loveliest, sweetest person if you ever get to meet her in person.
And a lot of shows are starting, like Heartbreak High is stepping into non-binary. It has non-binary clearly there.
I mean, non-binary is part of the trans community.
Yeah, totally.
Non-binary is the white stripe in the middle of the flag. They're front and centre in the trans community, but...
But Australia's not pushing it the way it needs to.
And, you know, I mean, Heartbreak High is an Australian show, but it's like a Netflix production, so it still feels has that American input on it. You know?
Good point. I never thought of it that way.
Like, America and the UK, despite having like really regressive laws around trans people at the moment, have much more of a push to get like those kind of trans, voices on screen and behind the scenes as well.
Yeah.
But it's just not happening here in Australia in the same way.
Well, this is how we have to change the dial. I guess we've got to create more representation and make it be seen, and not just make it be seen, but put trans people front and center.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of the people who make these decisions think of trans people as being our own little pocket of the community separate from the rest of the world. But I always tell people that trans people are randomly distributed through the population.
We end up
everywhere, which means that I think most people in Australia at the moment are just 2 or 3 degrees of separation away from a trans person.
Well, you know, it was that funny thing I was reading recently where people were like, oh, you know, you're only, there are some people who have never met a trans person in their life that they know of. And I was like, really? Like, I know so many. Let me introduce you. Yeah, it is that really funny thing. One time I was doing drag because people don't have this expectation of what a trans person is. One person at Falls Creek, I was doing drag and I was there with Michelle Shepherd. And, I had big, bright, colourful hair. When I'm frocked up, my body proportion is so all over the place.
It's cartoonish. It's delightful.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's mascot-y. And a man was coming over saying to me, and I'm standing there next to Michelle, Victorian Pride Person of the Year, wonderful woman, Mama Mish, and kept talking about how supportive he is of trans women and I should be really proud of myself. And I'm like, what? I went, why would a trans woman want to look like this is uncomfortable. Like this is, and Michelle was laughing because he couldn't for the life of him, didn't realize. And when I went, let me introduce you to a trans woman. And he just went, oh, but you look like everyone else. And he was, and in his defense, like his wife was apologizing. And we're talking a man in his like 60s.
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh, I'm sorry. Insisted on buying us drinks. I was happily there for that. But it's that funny notion and preconceived notion that everyone has that things need to be a certain way. The only way we create more visibility is for it to exist.
Yeah, but I mean, that just kind of proves my point, is that someone who would be very happy to watch something with trans people in it, but also has no idea what we're like and needs to see something with trans people in it.
Yeah. Well, Paul has made a suggestion that I'm assuming this is Paul from The Eye in Us, saying, sounds like we need a new LGBTIQA plus arts festival called Beyond the Gatekeepers, PBM. I'm not sure. That Beyond the Gatekeepers. Look, it's
one. I don't think the solution is another festival.
We're in Melbourne. We have a lot.
At this point, I'm convinced that most of the festivals are pyramid schemes.
Okay. All right. Fair point. Okay. That's very accurate. In fact, look, everyone does them in the best way they possibly can to fit in a box, however they can. But the festivals can be difficult for us all to navigate. But if you want to elevate and see things in the world in a better way, you've got to show up. You are doing your comedy festival show at the moment. None of that queer stuff. I'm assuming it's got some of that queer stuff in it.
Yeah, it's a joke of a title, and thankfully most people have realized that when they're coming. It's a way to bring like queer living and queer joy to straight people. So I've written it for straight people as a way to kind of get them to understand how to live like a queer person, even if they're not queer.
Okay, I love this. All right, well, not to give anything away, but just quickly, what are your two top tips for how to live like a queer person?
I mean, it's all very much just follow your own spirit, rewrite your own script, you know, don't do what you're meant to do just because that's what society tells you.
What more could you ask
for? Forge your own path, but it's just kind of like showing them how I've ended up doing that. Accidentally, nice. And kind of going like letting them like take their own lesson from it.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed and loving this. Well, everyone, you've only got what, three more shows?
Three more nights
to see None of This Queer Stuff by Anna Piper Scott in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Later on today on the Joy Breakfast socials, we're going to be sharing a post about it where you can get all of the details, but you could also just look them up right now. Head to Anna Piper Scott's socials or the Comedy Festival website.
Can I just say one more thing as well? Just sure. Like for the people out there who are like wanting to like support queer performers out there, most queer performers are doing discounts and you know, are willing to offer comps. Every queer performer I know has put it on social media at some point. If you can't afford a ticket, just message me. And people are like, I want to support the artist, I don't want to take up a seat. If you come and you are laughing at a queer comedian's show, whether you paid or not, you are supporting that comedian and making it a better experience for everyone. They want you there. I want you on my show, whether you can afford it or not. Just reach out and make these things happen. And that's a way to show support, even if you don't have the change at the moment in a cost of living crisis.
Oh, look, I absolutely love that. Anna, thank you for saying that. Really important. And thank you just for coming on this morning and having a chat. Can't wait to see your show. Only three nights left as a part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Thank you for joining us this morning,
Anna. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.